It's Wrecking Ball Radio. This is Stavin's Den.
And we are back. You are listening or watching Davin. Oh, wow. There's the chuckle of Pip. Pip has made it.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Pip. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. What was wrong with your phone?
I have no idea.
Perfect.
Boy, it was acting like a horse's ass.
Yeah. All right. Joe, you
that
there?
That was fun. Sorry.
Yeah. It's fine.
Well, I got to tell you, all you can hear is thunder and sirens going off. It sounds like the beginning of a Black Sabbath album.
you know. Last Friday, the next town over, there was a tornado, and we were like on the outskirts of that tornado. Like we lost power for about 4 hours. But yeah, like I'd never seen wind like that. Like things are blowing around, quarter size hail. Of course, we got the new car. I'm like, son of a bitch. But it didn't do any. It didn't do any damage. You know, I thought we'd have a garage by now for such things. But alas, we do not. So, there are no houses. There are no houses on the market right now. So
yeah, that we got a notice on our phone and on cable that we were in the tornado zone and that it was due to show up at our house in 15 minutes. And we had a conversation like, do we go into the basement? Are we going to hear it? Will we know? And ultimately, we did not go into the basement, but we probably should have, because when it tells you that there's rotation activity in your neighborhood, I guess you should do something. But this isn't Kansas. We don't know what to do when it's a tornado.
But you did. But you did know what to do. Should we go into the basement? That's where an intelligent person would go, yes, we should. But you would think you know better, since you can't even get in a fucking car during a lightning storm. A tornado's coming down. You go, I guess we'll just fucking chill here and see what happens. You are as dumb as they come. You really are.
I tell you, there was a last summer, you get this flash across the TV screen, tornadic activity, west of Suffolk County, or east of Suffolk County, blah, 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 and it's showing my town isn't part of it. So I go, holy shit, let me turn on News 12. They're not even fucking talking about it.
Yeah, that's
right.
What a fucking station that is.
I didn't know, I'm like, wow, this is a really bad fucking storm. I didn't know till the next day when somebody said, oh, yeah, there's a tornado in the next town over. And, like, we're right on the border of that town. So we were probably, like, on the fringes. Like, I didn't see. First of all, we're on a mountain. So you really don't expect to see a tornado. You know, well, that's one thing about tornadoes. You know what? If they don't have to do an incline, they'll knock some shit over. But you give them a mountain, they're like, yeah, you know what? No. That's way too much effort. I am not going up a mountain.
They're like Nana. I'll just destroy things down here.
When a tornado sees a mountain, it's like, I'll wait in the car, thank you.
Yeah, I'll wait in the car. Why don't you tornadoes get your coat, I'll bring around the car. No, thank you.
Yeah, we're on the top of a hill, and I was really not expecting ever to hear tornado coming through. You know, what?
Yeah, neither was I, you know, and then you turn on News 12 and it's bullshitting about the new goat at the petting zoo. It's like, it's getting fucking curtains.
See, I don't even care about not having the power, but I got these two aquariums. So now I'm like reading up, how long can they go without the filtration and the bubbler? So halfway through our power outage, we took some water out of the tank to create some aeration. Yeah, we're dealing with fish water while the world's blowing up around us. The next house, we're getting a generator. That's the one thing about living where I live now. Like, when the rest of the town loses power, you know, fortunately, this area has been pretty good. But I guess when a tornado comes a-knocking, well, bets are off. All right.
Well, I don't know if you saw Anthony had got one. It's like a fucking diesel locomotive behind a cabana. Like, all you hear is the lights going.
Yeah.
That was at his house?
Yeah. Yeah.
What?
Imagine what he's going to get in the next place, because he's planning on getting something with a lot of lead, so he's probably going to have a monstrous one.
He hasn't picked out a place yet.
No, I got to catch up with him. I might crash there on Thursday. I got to see. But I think they're on vacation this week, so I'm sure he's either getting ready to, you know, starting to get everything packed up in the compound, or he's looking. I don't know.
Has Anthony told the new owners to expect you to come by a couple times a month to crash?
I like to meet you. Hey, you know, not for nothing. I do a show down in New Jersey Shore, and I get started when I get up by. You know,
I understand.
Right down the road is a day program. You don't mind, do you?
I understand. It should be in the contract. Joe gets to sleep here a couple days a month.
Yeah,
all right.
We'll be here.
Let's do some School of Fools. So this was actually my blog this week. You go to davincomedy.com. It's titled Hitler Goes to School. Oddly enough, this took place in a town right next door to where Pip and I grew up. A very affluent town. But I guess bad decisions can happen anywhere. We used to play them in baseball. I'm sure we played them in other sports. So here's the story. Residents expressed shock over the weekend about a student-written biography of Adolf Hitler that hung in the Maugham Elementary School for weeks. The fifth-grade assignment included the student dressing as Hitler, of course, according to the parent of another student whose account was shared online. The one-page bio, written in the Nazi leader's voice, was displayed in the elementary school's hallway with similar assignments from other students starting in April, according to Lori Burke of Englewood, who posted a picture of a report on Facebook. Because you know what? Whenever you're outraged at something, the move should always go, put it on social media so other people can share in your outrage. That's what you should do now. This is from the report. My greatest accomplishment was uniting a great mass of German and Austrian people behind me, the student wrote in pencil on the paper circled accomplishments. The essay also noted, I was very popular and many people followed me until I died. No, you didn't die. You committed you committed suicide like a cowardly bitch. I mean, if we're gonna do the biography, you didn't die. You didn't lead the troops. You didn't lead the panzer tanks. No. You killed your fucking German shepherds and you took some cyanide, you little bitch, you. So, let's be, if we're going to do a biography, let's be accurate. Anyway, until I die. My belief in anti-Semitism drove me to kill more than 6 million Jews. It didn't drive you to do it. It didn't drive you to do that. You decided to do that because you didn't like Jews, you didn't like Catholics, you didn't like gay people, and you didn't like gypsies. You had a lot of people you didn't like. It wasn't just 6 million Jews. I understand this is a fifth grade report, but if we're going to do it, let's get a little bit more of the scope. In a letter posted on the district website Sunday, Superintendent Shauna DeMarco's thinking, for fuck's sake, the school year's almost over. What are you assholes doing? Now, in a letter posted on the district website Sunday, Superintendent Shauna DeMarco said she learned Friday of a serious matter involving a school project completed recently on Adolf Hitler. I have requested that all associated information related to this project be provided to me. All right, this isn't the fucking Mueller investigation. Fuck it, settle. She's making it like there's going to be subpoenas and shit. Settle the fuck down. Relax.
There's going to be a deep dive.
I'm going to call some people into the office and we're going to find out what the hell happened. But DeMarco wrote to parents and staff, once I receive and review the full information, I will determine any further action that should be taken, meaning he'll do a follow-up on Mussolini. DeMarco declined to request for additional information on Monday, telling the Record, hey, my old paper, I used to deliver that, and NorthJersey.com, part of the USA Today network, she could not comment without compromising the integrity of the investigation. By the way, let me stop right here. The Tenafly superintendent is better with leaks than the Trump White House. Because if this was happening in the Trump White House, one of those motherfuckers would be running to the press. But the superintendent, DeMarco's got this shit on lockdown. She's like, no, we're not talking about this shit. Everybody's lips are sealed. Otherwise, they're not getting chocolate milk at lunch. I will tell you right now. She could not comment without compromising the integrity of the investigation, the rights of those involved, and any responsive actions that may be required. Again, the Tenafly School District, way more on lockdown than the Trump administration ever was. The Trump administration...
Compromising the integrity of the administration? You look at the teacher that taught it, and you find the person that approved it, and you sit them down and go, what do? We fire you? What are you? You hung this up?
Joe. This is what you don't understand. We're doing a deep dive. We need to go all the way back to Austria and Germany. We need to find out how this really happened. You're just looking at the superficial stuff. Clearly, there's more involved. We're doing an expansive investigation, Joe. I can't believe you would think we would just stop with the teacher and the student. Nay, nay, my friend. Nay, nay.
It's like I had a lair in the Austrian Alps. I had a German shepherd. I had...
The investigation will resume on Tuesday, the superintendent said, promising that it will be concluded as swiftly as possible. Burke said she got her information from the parent of another fifth-grade student at Maugham. Hearsay, bitch! The student was in a was in a different class, but students still had to walk down the hall and see it, the Englewoman said in an interview. The parent said the work was part of a teacher-approved character development project for the entire class, according to Burke. It was up for at least 2 weeks, she said. Burke's Facebook post drew angry responses from the community. How is this possible in one of the most Israeli towns in the country? We have hummus! We have hummus! How is this possible? Jody Carr...
I think how it's possible is the thing hung up for 2 weeks. I don't think anybody really paid attention to any of this shit that was hanging up. And then one day some guy goes, oh, what does this say? Holy shit.
You're right.
Well, that's...
No, I mean, it's not like... you would think about a day after it was hung up. This is outrage. Nobody gives a shit about all this fascist shit hanging up. And then Sunday wrote, uh-oh. Did you read this thing? No, nobody gives a shit. I'd read it if I were you. That, you know, that's why... I think it took so long.
Joshua Tenzer wrote that the student report represented a wake-up call for Jews. Wake up, Jews. Wakey, wakey. It wasn't the killing in the Pittsburgh synagogue a couple of years ago. It wasn't all the anti-Semitic stuff. It wasn't Charlottesville's Jews will not replace us. It was the fifth grade assignment on Adolf Hitler that the Jews finally realized we need to have a call to action. This was the straw that broke Moshe's back.
So it's like this is a wake up call to the Jews. It's not like there was a division of the Palestine Liberation Organization by study hall and they got caught on. This was a project that somebody did not use common sense on. So,
well, Joe, my first clue was in gym class when all the non-Jewish students threw rocks at the Jewish students. I'm like, oh, this is not going well. They're pro-Palestinian here. We might have to move.
Right.
That's what happened? For real?
Yes, Pip.
No.
Yes, Pip. That's what happened for reals. Wow. You know what?
I didn't know what? Because kids were freaking cruel.
Now it all makes sense how you wound up at an Enough's Enough concert on the 4th of July. It all fucking makes sense now. And how, hey, there's a tornado coming. How about we go outside?
Let's go video the tornado coming at us.
You want to get in the car and chase it? Nah, let's walk after it. That's better than getting in the car. Gas is expensive.
Oh, let me tell you something. It would be Pip, and it would be like a special Davinson, where now she's in the Wizard of Oz. Davin's like the wizard. I know it's another man behind the curtain.
I was just figuring, how the hell do we get the cats in the basement?
You pick them up.
That's not going to happen.
You pick them up, stupid. That's how you get them. They're cats. They're not anacondas. All right.
What do we do with AIDS cat, though?
You know what? AIDS cat's on his own. What do you want me to fucking tell you? So you're all going to die because of AIDS cat? Fuck it. No, Mr. Tornado. If you're going to take AIDS cat, you're going to have to take all of us. You're a fucking moron.
And you know what the funny thing is? Let's say the tornado hit, and it just took all of this shit and just flew it all over the place. Pip would call that, hey, it redecorated for us.
Pip would like, everything, the only thing Pip would notice is the roof is off, but everything else looks better than before.
Yeah.
Look, it looks like the people from 1-800-JUNK came by.
By the way, by the way, never again can you say I'm not driving up because of a lightning storm after you're like, hey, there's a tornado coming. Yeah, let's fucking chill. Never again.
We weren't chilling.
You're a moron. You're a moron.
Well, the funny thing is that when he had the warnings by me last year, I'm like, all right, I'll hide in the basement. Oh, fuck, I don't have a basement. Now what?
then you go to the innermost bathroom. That is the move.
Yeah.
But
walking through the gates of heaven with a toilet seat around my neck.
Well, sure. Well, at least you're going to where you're best known. You've done your best work.
Getting tribute to the trade.
Sure. Look at Joe selling toilets to the end.
Yeah, really?
Your guys up there, we get it. You're in plumbing. No, you don't understand.
Yeah, that's what. Yeah, you would be stupid enough. You know what, God? You don't understand, really. All right.
Yeah, you know what? You just
trade that. We're going to trade the toilet seat in for a pitchfork, stupid. One more word out of you. And there's plenty of shit here I have to go through before I even decide what I'm doing with you.
Right. Try point to the toilet seat and go, this is your work. I didn't plan this.
All right, I'll continue. We'll always be different no matter the 21st century. Enlightened calls for universal values of blindness to difference, he posts. Oh, by the way, I've been reading articles. The liberals are just as nasty to Jews as the conservatives are. The Jews have nowhere to run. Apparently this whole Palestinian thing from a couple of weeks ago really got all the liberals decide that they want to hate Israel, and now they're being anti-Semitic, and like all these other libs that were Jews that thought they were part of this liberal movement, now the libs are like, no, Jews, you fucking stay there. So there is something afoot. The Jews got nowhere to go. All right. This is a county filled with children and grandchildren of Holocaust survivors, Burke wrote. As there are fewer survivors still alive, we must remember and teach our children the atrocities of this monster and not his, quote, accomplishments. The student's complete essay, as seen on the wall, is as follows. My greatest accomplishment was uniting a great mass of German and Austrian people behind me. I rose to power as the leader of the Nazi Party, becoming chancellor in 1933, and then assuming the title of Führer and Reichskanzler. Really? A fucking fifth grader? In 1934. I was pretty great, wasn't I? Yeah, Ben, you were the bee's fucking knees. I was very popular and many people followed me until I died. No! You didn't die! You committed suicide like a bitch! Like a little bitch! My belief in anti-Semitism drove me to kill more than 6 million Jews. You know what? That you got to say that the guy he's driven. That's what the message is. He's not quitting. Anybody can kill 1 or 2 or 3 million Jews, but more than 6 million. That's a man with goals.
But you remember on What's My Line when they would have to figure out who was doing it, they would tell them what they did. And it sounds like the beginning of What's My Line. I am Adolf Hitler. Yeah.
Jordan Schenker, CEO of Kaplan JCC on the Palisades and Tenafly. Hey, I used to work out there, and I used to do comedy shows there. Joe might have even done a comedy show there with me. This incident we used to do for the singles group. Joe, did you ever do a comedy show with me for the Jewish singles?
No, I used to do it at the Glatt Mexican place.
Yes, that was where I saw Dennis Ross die before he died. But anyway, I'll continue.
Oh, God.
This incident further illustrates the need for increased awareness in our community about the harmful impact our words and actions can have on others. Regardless of the educational intent here, the teacher failed to recognize the profound impact this can have on students, family members, and others in their community who could perceive this project as condoning or even glorifying the atrocities of one of the most evil individuals in world history. In her letter, DeMarco expressed regret about having to address the matter on the eve of Memorial Day when we honor and mourn the military personnel who have died in the performance of their duties while serving United States Armed Forces. The board and the administration hope that their prior actions have demonstrated to the Tenafly community that we are committed to driving a positive school climate and culture to maximize the learning opportunities and emotional growth for our students and to enable them to pursue productive and fulfilling lives, DeMarco. All right. So here's my take. It might not be what people expect. I don't necessarily have a problem with the kid doing a report on Adolf Hitler. You know, there should probably be some conversation. Go, you do know this is an evil man. You're going to write him. You're going to write as if you're Adolf Hitler. Okay. You might want to correct a couple things. And if you are going to let him do the report, You have to let it hang on the wall with all the others. You can't give the kid permission to do the report. He does the report and go, well, because it's Adolf Hitler, we can't hang it on the wall. Now, I understand why people are outraged. Now here's where I start to go, huh, maybe this wasn't so well thought out. When the kid comes to school dressed as Adolf Hitler, that's when we need to go, slow down. You could do the report, but you can't come to school dressed as Adolf. We can't have you goose stepping through the halls on the way to recess.
And another thing to add to that is, and look, week after week, we'll fight. People got to relax. People got to be alarmed. People got to relax. People got to be alarmed. When you put it up and have the diatribe on there, and the header is accomplishment, and it's Hitler. The only thing he's accomplished is genocide and being the course of action that's ripped Europe apart. Till this day, we're still having problems over this.
But Joe, I actually don't have a problem with that per se, because I think, if I'm understanding this assignment, it was supposed to be written in an autobiographical form. So if this is a biography, then yes, I agree. I absolutely agree with you. You can't have accomplishments if this is a biography. If this is supposed to be written as Hitler, and in autobiographical form, well, Hitler would think he was pretty good. I imagine Hitler had pretty high self esteem. You don't fucking dominate.
Then you write a lesson in evil. You put it, and you can have that, or a lesson in evil, or something like that. But accomplishment, the way it's written, accomplishment. I mean,
right. But Joe, he also wrote in this
the world.
He also wrote, I was pretty great, wasn't I? So I don't know what they were going.
Wink of his eyes.
Yeah, but now here's the thing. Like, there's where I'm really concerned. I kind of get the feeling that this kid might idolize Hitler, and that it seems like his parents are cool with this. Because, like, I could imagine when you're going to do a report on Hitler. Really? All right. And I imagine that going, okay. Because he was an interesting guy. But once your kid decides, I'm going to go to school as Hitler, because he's a fifth grader. He's not ordering this shit on Amazon by himself. He's not designing the costume himself. He's not going to school himself. Somebody's helping him there. At some point, the parent goes, listen, let me sit you down and tell you why you can't dress as Hitler and go to school. We can't even go trick-or-treating as Hitler. No. You
right.
can-
as much as we want to.
So... Well,
I'm like, trying to goose step through the neighborhood looking for Snickers. Yeah, I know.
Look, when Mom was down on her knees with her eyebrow pencil, drawing a little mustache on her baby Hitler fifth grader, don't you think that some common sense should have kicked in?
Yeah.
Well, no, I think these people are. Listen, there's people in this country that idolize Hitler. That's just the reality. I think these are those people. Now, should the teacher be suspended or fired or punished? No. Should the student
be? He doesn't know anything.
No, I said should the teacher. I said should the teacher.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No,
she should be reprimanded and a note put in her file, but I wouldn't fire her.
No, I don't even know. I would just have a talk and go, listen, we gotta be a little bit more discerning when we do it, when we give the students permission to do these reports.
Yeah, right, you're doing something about one of the most evil men in the history of mankind, and you can't write accomplishments. You've got to make it in a way that it shows in the writing what an evil man he was.
Right. I wouldn't punish the student. I might call on the parents and have a conversation. What's going on in your house? We need to talk. And I think I would have an age-appropriate assembly for the school. As Joe likes to say, this is a teachable moment, a teaching moment here. Yeah. I mean, let's bring somebody in from one of these Holocaust museums to talk to the students about it was. Let's educate them. Let's do that. Then we can put a positive on this. I don't think it's...
Please. The area that we grew up in and that I still live in, the place is lousy with Jews. Let's just say that somebody's bubby is ready and available to come in and sit down with the kids in small groups.
I kind of feel like this place is lousy with Jews is the type of thing I might read in this fifth grader's report. I don't know if that's the best way to say what you were trying to say.
Look, this place is lousy with Italians, too. Now, I'm just saying.
Not helping.
This is who lives here.
Not helping. I don't think this is the time when you want to say lousy about any group of people when talking about Hitler. Yeah.
This place is lousy with Irish, too.
The way it's written, it's this lighthearted thing. And even if you got... It's technical what happened. Due to the Treaty of Versailles, my country, along with Japan, were put at a disadvantage through our reparations that we had to pay in Japan not being able to be detained. You know, just something like that, which you could still, you know, go on, and you're writing about that, but just accomplishment. You know?
Actually, what you would want to be going for was the fuel behind this was how Germany was treated after World War One. The treaty that we signed after World War One is what fueled the resentment towards everybody else. But again, this is a fifth grader.
You know, and the funny thing,
two
is,
paragraphs.
Even if you wrote that, well, you know what he did. What, you know, so you're trying to be factual, and you get your hand slapped for that. But you know what? We should know what an evil person Hitler was. You know, but they went about it the wrong way.
I don't know if I need everybody's outrage over this. That might be a little much. I understand calling the principal and go, all right, what is going on now? Can somebody please explain this? But do we have to put it on social media and we're outraged? A little. It's a fifth grade report. You should be concerned that there's people in your community that think it's okay to dress their kid as Hitler. That's where you should be outraged. See, that's where I'm upset about the dressing as.
So, with the outrage, it's... Writing a SWAT sticker is instant outrage, obviously. Instant outrage, instant hatred. Something like this is sort of like innocent, the way it was written, and nobody really caught on to it. And due to the innocence, the real backstory needs to be known, and there's outrage there, you know, where we have to...
Well, here's the reality. The teacher knew what was going on. The teacher was okay with this. The teacher very easily could have said, listen, I'm not going to deduct anything from you. This is not what I had in mind. I'm going to give you another week to rethink this a little bit. If the teacher had an issue with it, the teacher signed off on this. So that's maybe where you go with the teacher. You have to have a conversation. It didn't need to blow up to this level, but there's something going on in that community that people should be concerned about.
And also reading that, because the reading it is a fifth grader. Not too bad, huh? You know, he's not reading it as a, you know, the way it's read, it's like, you know, he's an anti-Semitic animal, but the way the kid left through the eyes of a fifth grader, not too bad, United a Nation, not too bad, huh? We'll slow down. Yeah, so the teacher should have saw that and go, do you realize, I go, we'll discuss why it was United for the reasons, and we're also going to discuss how this could be a problem. You know, and we're going to need to rewrite this and have a parent-teacher conference about it, you know, just in case the parent, well, he should be, but we need to do this in a certain manner, especially now, you know? So, yeah, I mean, it was...
All right.
It was, and, you know, the interesting thing about the story, I was running errands on Friday morning, and this was on the news, and I didn't see our show prep yet, and I'm like,
yeah.
I go, I hope we do this story. I go, we should be
doing
this story, and we are.
You know, if you guys do, I mean, Pip does it sometimes, but Joe, if you see an interesting story, feel free to send it to me. I may use it or I may not use it, but send it to me if there's something you want to cover. All right.
Well, it was such big news. Well, one of the things that is concerning, you know, neighborhood-wise, is that, to put perspective on, this kid is 10 years old. He didn't come to this realization he wanted to do a report about Hitler in a vacuum. You know, what is he hearing, or where is he picking up on who Hitler was anyway, to the point where he thought this would be a great thing to do for a good, you know, an accomplished person?
No, I mean, something's
where did he get that spin?
Something's going on in that house. There could be some cargo pants and tiki torches in the closet. I mean, you definitely want to see what's going on and maybe try to reach this fifth grader before it gets worse. There's something going on, but I think there's better ways to handle it. All right, let's move on to Felicia Rashad. So the background on this story is Bill Cosby, for those who don't know, is out of jail on a technicality. On a technicality. Nobody found him innocent, and nobody said he didn't drug these women and rape these women, but there was a technicality by the former prosecutor, Castor, who, by the way, shit all over himself just a few months ago in the Trump impeachment. He shit all over himself. He was so bad. So the attorney's last name is Castor. So this guy's not so hot stuff. But anyway, Bill Cosby.
Can I ask you a quick question?
Yes.
On that, basically, he got sprung because he said that there was a deal made that if he gave, you know, discussed this evidence, he would not prosecute. Now, and one of the lead-ins to the story was he said that it was a verbal deal. Is there anything, because if it's a verbal deal, that I would judge that as hearsay, and it would be inadmissible.
Well, from what I've heard, first of all, This does not usually happen the way the court ruled, but the court didn't even recognize that deal. The court would have to recognize that deal when it happened. So that court didn't recognize it. So that's why the current prosecution is so outraged by this. And it's a very weird ruling. All right, so that's the backdrop. The Cos is free to do as he does, and we'll do more about the Cosby. But this is about Felicia Rashad, who played Claire Huxtable on The Cosby Show. Bill Cosby's co-star Felicia Rashad, Rashad's public statement addressing his conviction being overturned drew immediate backlash. The Cosby Show actress Felicia Rashad posted a tweet of support for her former co-star Bill Cosby after news of his imminent release from prison was announced. The 73-year-old actress wrote, "Finally, a terrible wrong is being righted. A miscarriage of justice is corrected." The post was accompanied by a photo of Cosby holding up his fist. And there was in his fist, there was a fistful of Quaaludes. But anyway, almost immediately after posting, Rashad turned off the mentions of the tweet, preventing anyone from replying. Now's the time. Several hours later, Rashad posted another tweet writing, "Oh, fuck. No, I fully support survivors of sexual assault coming forward. My post was in no way intended to be insensitive to their truth. Personally, I know from friends and family that such abuse has a lifelong residual effects. My heartfelt wish is for healing." Howard University, where Felicia Rashad was named Dean of the College of Fine Arts in May of this year, addressed Rashad's initial post, writing, "Survivors of sexual assault will always be our priority. While Dean Rashad has acknowledged in her follow-up tweet that victims must be heard and believed, her initial tweet lacks sensitivity towards survivors of sexual assault. Personal positions of university leadership do not reflect Howard University's policies. We will continue to advocate for survivors fully and support their right to be heard. Howard will stand with survivors and challenge systems that would deny them justice. We have full confidence that our faculty and school leadership will live up to the sacred commitment." Do you now? Social media has almost universally denounced Felicia Rashad's tweets, and many are calling for her to step down from her new role at the university. One Twitter user wrote, "I wouldn't trust Howard with my daughters as long as you have deans that stand with sexual predators. I imagine many parents feel the same. We're really concerned, particularly for black survivors," said Indira Henard, executive director of the D.C. Rape Crisis Center, told Fox D.C. "Howard University is an HBCU, and so we know the intersectionality of sexual violence and race, and so this adds to that." The hashtag #ByFelicia, a play on By Felicia, started trending this week after the actress celebrated her former Cosby co-stars with a jubilant. Finally, hold her ass accountable, Whitney Meredith, a class of 2024, wrote on Instagram. "I take a non-famous dean who believes sex assault victims over a celebrity dean who does shit like this," the musician wrote. "I don't think she deserves to lead the Chadwick A. Boseman School of Fine Arts. Not anymore," she said of the school that in May was renamed to honor the late Black Panther actor who was a former student there. By the way, Chadwick Boseman was supposed to be like a great guy, besides being a phenomenal actor. He also played Jackie Robinson in the latest Jackie Robinson movie. So that's who Chadwick
Boseman. Oh, wow.
Played. Yeah. He's a very talented actor. I think it's good that Felicia Rashad spoke up and showed us she's not qualified to be the dean of College of Fine Arts. Alumni Andrew Addison tweeted, "It's real on Howard to do the right thing and rectify the situation. Had I been assaulted while a student of Dean Rashad, I can't say that it would have ever come forward because I would have feared her retribution and her judgment, she wrote, saying she most likely would have stayed silent. Rashad should not be an educator. All right. So people are none too happy with Felicia Rashad. So my our poll question for the week is, should Rashad be fired? And it was something like 67% said no. And 33% said yes. Something like that. I thought I wrote it down. I did not. But a lot more people said no, that she should not be fired. I will disagree with the masses. She's got to go. She's got to. First of all, enough with the fucking verstunkene celebrity fucking deans. Enough with that shit. Can we put just educators in there? Because she played Claire Huxtable and she married former football player and broadcaster Ahmad Rashad, she gets to be the dean? Fuck no. Listen, I understand, you know, Howard University saying personal beliefs should not affect the people being hired. I understand this, but this does affect the students. And if I was a parent, I would raise an eyebrow to go, I'm not sending my kid to your school. Fuck you. Standing with Bill Cosby, he was found innocent. It was on a technicality. She has her right to say anything she wants to say. I have my right to not have my child attend your university. Howard University has the right to go, bye, Felicia. We can't have this. Well, you know, normally I say, you know what? People have a right to say they're just caving because of the blowback. And normally I say, they shouldn't cave. No. You got to cave here. She's got to go. There's so much sexual assault that happens on college campuses that are not reported. And to have that type of jubilant response, finally, a miscarriage of justice. 60 women have come forward and said Bill Cosby assaulted from the 70s through the 2000s. 60 fucking women. That's a lot of people making shit up, if you know what I'm saying. She's got to go. I'm surprised that people are thinking Howard University should stand by her. She's accomplished nothing as a dean there. She has no. This isn't somebody who's like been there, been on staff for 10 years and has really helped young actors and actresses develop and her words of wisdom. They just hired the dopey bitch in May. We don't even have a sign on her door yet. She can go. We lose nothing.
But, you know, there's an interesting thing we were discussing over the weekend with this whole thing, where she may have made that comment out of a black man getting a typical black man wind up, you know, getting incarcerated for something that they really didn't do, or incarcerated for through the justice system.
Well, Joe, that is the argument. Hold on, that is the argument Cosby's attorneys are saying, that this is that's their argument.
Right. So that's the argument. But you've got the, well, yeah, Black Lives Matter, blah, blah, blah. But you've got a bigger thing than that. If you're going to yell that, how, because you're going to have the Me Too movement. And it's the Me Too movement going against the BLM movement. And here is the thing. The Me Too movement not only have black women, they have white women, Asian women, Hispanic women, women of all kinds that have been harassed. Where people, you know, women are going, I don't care if I'm pink with purple polka dots. I don't want to be harassed. And he harassed these women, and he let it go. Oh, well, aren't you in BLM? Yeah, I'm in BLM, but this is, you know, I'm also a woman, and what he did was atrocious. But so you're losing that whole well, it's black justice thing. You're losing it because you're running straight into the jaws of the Me Too movement. So for her to react that way, I don't think she thought it out very well.
No, I don't. No, clearly.
Obviously she did not, but I think that's, you know, the reason you've got these two movements and you're trying to cheer on one, but you are going to get your ass handed by the other, no matter what color you are.
But do you think Howard should get rid of her?
No, I don't. And it goes back to the thing where, you know, everybody gets fired over things that they said. I mean, it just gets to the point where there's going to be a case where, you know, what you said, you know, is not that demeaning, but you get fired because everybody is on a witch hunt for it. And I think she should not, just in case something happens where...
This is different, though, because... And then we're going to have Pip comment. This is different, though, because this comes to the trust parents are entrusting their children at this university. She is the dean of a program. By making her statements about Bill Cosby, I would argue she has violated that trust, and she can't carry out her job for a lot of people. This isn't just some like random spokesman saying something about like Coke or whatever the fuck you want, you know, some or some random shock jock saying something stupid. This is about kids and she and women, and she's violated that trust. That's why I think she has to go. But you say she doesn't. What do you say, Pip?
Well, you know, in the schools act in the term is in loco parentis. They're in the place of the parent. And so they're, when kids go to school, they are looking over the student body. And as you said, it's different in the case, if she had just been hired by a corporation, say, and she said this nonsense, I would be disappointed in them for firing her because she said what is her opinion. I mean, of course, you know, they have to look out for their reputation, and they don't want to get a hit from, you know, the populace. And of course, I believe Bill Cosby is as wrong as can be. However, it's really weighed in my mind on the part of the school is looking over these kids and trying to take care of them. And there is too much harassment and assault on college campuses still. So in the case that here's Bill Cosby, who I know she worked with, and so she has this different relationship with, but the guy is wrong as can be, and he got off on a technicality, and she's saying, justice is served? Yeah, well, what are you saying to the young women on your campus? That is a big concern, and if she had been there for a long time, I think that maybe the college would have to sit down with her and have a talk with her and, you know, set her straight. She just got there, and she's just like, as far as I can tell, just like, you know, oh, look at this famous person that we have in our acting division so that we can get, you know, other students in. She hasn't been there long enough to do anything, to get her name on the even friggin' door, and she turns around with this? No, bitch gotta go.
Okay, so unless Joe wants to counter that,
you know, there's, like I said, I think she was playing to the Black Lives Matter movement.
See, Joe, I don't think she was. I think it was an honest reaction. I think she believes Cosby didn't do this stuff. It's not the Bill Cosby she knows, which is fine. That's okay. Bill Cosby's allowed to have friends, but if you're and Felicia Rashad is allowed to tweet that stuff, but as Pip and I have said, if you're taking care of kids and women and sexual assault is still a problem, yeah, you know, it just doesn't work. That's why, Joe. It's not because
like I said, it was a big lack of common sense because I think, you know, she's very vocal in black rights. And she probably said, well, this is another case of black rights. Not thinking that the Me Too, what do you think, the Me Too movement is going to go, yeah, that's, you know.
But Joe, the Me Too,
women of every color.
The whole contention here, let's not forget, Bill Cosby admitted to doing these things, admitting to giving women quaaludes. The technicality was, if he admitted these things, they would not prosecute. So it's not like, oh, he didn't give quaaludes to these women. Bill Cosby admitted it. So I don't know what Felicia Rashad has to know that he, what, does she think he was lying under oath? I don't know. I think Felicia Rashad might be in some type of denial about who her pal is, which is fine.
Yeah, might be, yeah.
But I don't think there's Black Lives Matter motives. I don't think there's any other motives in the fact that she was like, yes, my friend is getting out. I've been so concerned about him for all these years. He's getting out. I think she was really happy. And I think these students and alumni are really upset. And I think they're justified in being upset. And I don't think she has the track record for Howard University, as Pip said and I said and I'm saying again, to stand by her. She's done nothing there. She's a zilch.
I'm not adamant about that. I'm on the fence with it. And out of this whole thing, what I really want to know is that, yeah, he said he wouldn't prosecute if he, you know, admitted these things. But from what I read, and I don't know if it changed, It was a verbal agreement. And if it was a verbal agreement, I don't know how that could stand and how they let him...
Well, it's a verbal contract. It's a verbal deal. But again, what I am hearing is, and that is the argument, that's what the court recognized, the court at the time when this was happening never recognized that deal. The court has to recognize the deal that that Bill Cosby is going to say these things and we are not going to use these to incriminate him. The court never recognized that. So we don't know if Castor said it or not. We have him saying it. Like I said, he just shit himself in the beginning of the year in front of everybody on Trump's impeachment trial. And we have Trump's prosecuting attorneys. But we have 60 women, including Janice Dickinson, who is the world's first supermodel, have said this guy raped them. And there's not that many people who we can do this because of statute of limitation. So we're just going to – you could have said, listen, there might have been a verbal deal, but we don't have proof of it. We're not overturning. You know, or you could just go, we'll acknowledge –
And I think that's what they should have said. Look. I do a gig for you. The gig's $100, all right? And you give me $75. We had a verbal deal, and we wind up in small claims court. That's to debate a verbal deal, but somebody that's getting charged with rape with witnesses and admission, and the court overturns it because of a verbal deal, it's the whole damn thing. It doesn't pass the smell test. Do you think so?
No, and that's the key thing. They overturned the conviction. He is no longer convicted. He is no longer known as a sexual predator. And, you know, listen, I'm sure him and OJ are going to go off and find the killers and the rapists together. I'm sure they're going to have a gay old time, the two of them.
Make a great series.
Listen, they could both use the work. But as far as public opinion goes, OJ's a murderer and Bill Cosby's a rapist. And as far as me and Pip are concerned, Felicia Rashad should be the former dean at Howard University. And stop.
You know what they should do is there should be a show about people that get away with stuff and have OJ and Bill Cosby host it. You call it Scott Free. Welcome to the show where you get away with murder, right, OJ? Oh, that's right, Bill. Welcome to Scott Free.
All right. So there we go. So that's that. Let's do some comics in the news. We'll continue with the Cosby theme here. Comics in the news.
And now it's time for Comics in the News.
All right, continuing with the Bill Cosby theme. Bill Cosby celebrated his newfound freedom Wednesday with a massive feast and now looks forward to telling his story on stages across the country, his publicist told The Post. The 83-year-old disgraced comedian learned about the stunning Pennsylvania High Court ruling overturning his sexual assault conviction from other inmates in his prison. Andrew Wyatt, one of his reps, said in an interview, "He's excited," he told me. "Andrew, my heart is racing." Now, I hope it fucking beats out of your chest, stupid. He said, I just heard the inmates knocking on the walls and the cell and said, "Bill, you're free. Bill, you're free. Bill, let me take my cock out of your ass. You're free. I don't know what's going on." Speaking outside of Cosby's suburban Philadelphia mansion, Wyatt claimed his client had been fielding congratulatory calls from the likes of actors Terrence Howard and Faison Love. After serving nearly 3 years of a 3 to 10 year sentence for drugging and sexually assaulting Andrea Constan, Cosby planned to dine on salmon, collard greens, and pizza with the fresh basil and mozzarella, his spokesman said. "He wants to have a crunchy pizza and just the taste of it," Wyatt said. "You motherfucker, you." The former Cosby star, show, who once admitted that he used to offer Quaaludes, a power sedative, to women he wanted to have sex with, "because having sex with me without Quaaludes is disgusting," also wants to enjoy his taste of freedom. Wyatt said that Cosby planned to immediately go back to performing on the road. "He will get back on stage on many stages across this country, and he'll be telling his story, and I will get bumped because of it. You will see a documentary coming out soon. You will see a book coming out soon. It better be in Braille, because that motherfucker's blind." There's a lot of great projects that's going to be coming out soon, are there? Cosby was sprung from state prison in suburban Montgomery County earlier on Wednesday and was uncharacteristically mum during a short press conference outside. He later defiantly proclaimed his innocence in a tweet with a photo of himself raising his right hand in a fist. "I've never changed my stance nor my story. I've always been a rapist. I've always maintained my innocence," the tweet read. "Thank you to all my fans, supporters, and friends who stood by me through this ordeal. Special thanks to the Pennsylvania Supreme Court for upholding the rules of law for one black man. One powerful black man." Pennsylvania High Court found that Cosby should never have been prosecuted in the Constant case because he was promised by a former Montgomery County District Attorney that he wouldn't be charged despite there being no evidence that the deal was put in writing. In a statement, Constant said and her lawyers called the ruling disappointing and expressed fear that it could discourage victims of sexual assault from coming forward. At trial, five women were allowed to testify that Cosby had drugged and molested them, though he was not charged in their accusations. Dozens more women have stepped forward over the years alleging sexual misconduct, including your rape at the hands of the former beloved TV star. Still, Cosby's rep claimed the comic had obtained vindication with the court's decision. "It's a beautiful day, not just for Bill Cosby, because this is all about Americans making sure that they get justice," Wyatt said. "This is all God's work." And God said, "Leave me the fuck out of this." "Slow down, Bill. I got Joe up here with a toilet. I'll get to you. I gotta sort things out." I'm trying to figure out why Curry's bringing a toilet.
I'm like, you let Bill Cosby go and look at God and go, "You're not gonna let him get away with this, are you? I mean, you're God, Almighty. I mean, you know he's full of shit."
And God's like, "Well, listen, you heard the Pennsylvania court. My hands are tied." So, I think there will be venues that will allow him to perform. I think people will come out to see him. I think there's going to be a lot of protesters outside. But I think he's going to perform. I don't think this is going to be very funny. I think it's going to be mostly whining. He's already railing against. He's already blaming the media for January 6th. So he's got old and bitter going for him. This is an angry guy. What I want to know is, when he was in prison, was he lecturing all the black people there about pulling up their pants the way he was before he was in prison? Because the black community got very upset with him because Bill Cosby would lecture the black men about pulling up their pants. That was Bill Cosby's big call to action. What you think about the fashion one way or the other, who the fuck cares? I just don't see Bill holding court and telling all the black people to pull up their pants. But Bill was probably standing in the corner over there. But I think
when Bill Cosby gives interviews and stuff like that, he pontificates.
Yes.
How can you sit there and pontificate when your reputation is
Because he doesn't think it is, Joe. Joe, he doesn't think it is. We always talk about Trump being surrounded by yes people. Cosby is clearly surrounded by yes people. He believes he's been vindicated. You know, not to drag Trump into it because it's different, but it's kind of that same thing. When you reach a certain level, you don't believe you did anything wrong. There's a certain psyche. Bill Cosby's now in that headspace. Bill Cosby can't admit it.
And I think he's in that headspace because he thinks it's a win for black rights. No, it's a slap in the face against the Me Too movement. Like I said again, that has black, white, Latino, Asian, you know, women in it. So it's not like you're thinking you're making a win for a big movement. However, you've got a movement that's just as big that you just fucking pissed off that is about as powerful as your movement is.
So
you're
even
more powerful because you have people of color in that movement and a lot of them that have been harassed. So I don't know where this is going to go.
Do you think he's going to be able to get this tour going? You think people will see him?
Yeah, because it's going to be a circus attraction. It's going to be a circus attraction.
Yeah.
They'll have it. They'll sell tickets, and it's going to be a circus attraction. Will venues have them? Yeah, because it's going to be a circus attraction. You know?
Yeah. I agree with Joe in that, you know, like when Charlie Sheen went off the rails and he was, you know, going on about tiger blood and everything, he was still going out and doing shows. Were they good shows? No. Did people show up just to see what would happen? Probably.
Yeah, but hold on. Charlie Sheen was never a stand-up comedian. Bill Cosby, forget about the awfulness that he is, was one of the greatest stand-up comedians of all time. I mean, so it's not going to be a Charlie Sheen train wreck. I think there's going to be a lot of whining and bitterness.
And I wonder how comedians are going to rally around. Let me give you an example. In the movie Comedian, Jerry Seinfeld's movie, there was a scene that that Bill Cosby, Seinfeld is, I guess it's the seller or whatever, and he's mentioning to, I just had a blank. Oh God! Why am I drawing a blank? This other, who was in the
Eddie Ift?
Who talks like this? Johnny Watson always does his voice.
Chris Rock.
Right. In the movie, they were at the club, and Chris Rock, Seinfeld was telling Chris Rock that Bill Cosby's going to be in town, and he's going to go meet him. And Chris Rock's like, "Can I go?" So they show Cosby talking to Seinfeld and Chris Rock. And you see Chris Rock and Seinfeld, these two icons, sitting there in awe, talking with Bill Cosby, who, in the strictly comedic terms, is an icon. So you see the power of an icon it has over other icons before everything started. Now, with all this baggage, you know, I do think he will do some shows. It's going to be a circus. But will the likes of Jerry Seinfeld stand behind him? Will Chris Rock stand behind him? Will the Louis C.K. stand behind him? I wonder how that's going to be in the comedy community, because they're going to wind up like Phyllis Facade if they do.
I think people are going to come out. I would not see him. I don't think I wouldn't open for him unless there was a lot of money involved. If there's a lot of money, I do have a price. I'm not going to say I don't have a price. But honestly, I would want nothing to do with him. But, you know, listen. I think you're going to see him. You're going to see him play small things. You might see him at Dingbats on Christmas Eve. Who the fuck knows?
Yeah. But and also the thing about why I wouldn't see him, regardless, is that he always represented a wholesome, family, clean, brilliant take on things. That's gone.
No. No, I don't think so, Joe. I think... there are people that believe he didn't do it. I think he's gonna whine about how he was done wrong. It's gonna be wholesome prison. You know, it's gonna be his spin on prison life. He's not gonna change his comedic voice at 83 years old. And I'm telling you, whatever he delivers, it's gonna be fucking good if he get past the whining and fetching. He's a brilliant comedian. I just don't want to put money in his pocket because he's a bad dude. He's a bad human being. He's hurt a lot of people, and this overturning on a technicality doesn't change that. So you would see him, Joe. Would you see him, Pip?
No.
Okay.
I don't know if I wouldn't see him.
I thought you just said you would see him.
No, I would not.
Oh, I thought you said you would see him because he was this wholesome guy and you want to see how he's going to...
No, I would not see him because that wholesome guy, clean material, brilliant, is diminished by what he did.
So Truson calls you up, Joe. Cosby's coming in this weekend. We want you to open for him. You taking the gig?
What's arrival time?
Jesus Christ.
But you know what? You want to know something? And you look at it to the likes of Louis C.K. What Louis C.K. did was kind of, you know, depraved, but it was consensual in the fact. I mean, you know, he just masturbated in front of women, which was consensual, and it got out. So you go to see Louis C.K., I would go see Louis C.K.
Well, it's a little different. I mean, Louis C.K. was doing this over people he had power over. So it's a little, they were still a power play. Was Louis C.K. in the stratosphere of Bill Cosby? No, not even close. But it wasn't just as innocent as, hey, let me jerk off. Do you mind if I jerk off in front of me? It's consensual. No, these were people that worked for him, up-and-coming comedians. So there was as all things with sexual assault and rape, there's predatory and power involved. And Louis C.K. had the power. Do I think Louis C.K. should have a career? Yeah, he can have a career. Do I want to go see him? No, I'm not really interested in seeing him. Do I think Bill Cosby should have a career? No, I don't think Bill Cosby should have a career. Will he have a career? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I want to... This isn't tying in with the little kid writing their report about Hitler and Bill Cosby. When I was in seventh grade, we had to write a report about somebody famous that we admired. I wrote about Bill Cosby.
Well, Pip, Bill admires you too. Quaalude?
I'm not telling.
Say is, the whole thing with cope with being woke is like to be more patient, be less arrogant, and he should bring Bill Cosby, be less rapey, yeah.
Be less rapey. Well, the thing is that I wrote in my report, and this is well before the Bill Cosby show, because I'm old. I know. This was based purely on his stand-up, because when I was a little kid, my heroes were stand-up comedians and musicians. And I wrote about that I admired him because he had a clean act. And at that time, that impressed me. And he was still, like, really funny. And, you know, he did shows like, you know, he had the Bill Cosby show. And he was a big deal in the 70s. And before the 80s, he became America's dad. And I really looked up to him and respected him. And when this whole thing came out about, you know, all the raping and it hit me hard. It did. It was
because the guy you held in high regard, the whole damn country held him in high regard. Comedians.
I'm just giving my personal perspective on it. I'm not a black person who looked at him as great. He's a black guy doing really well, and he's, you know, representing my people. He's not representing my people at all. He was just a guy that I thought was really funny, and I really respected his work. And I know he's an awesome stand-up, but I'm so upset about his behavior towards all those women. And the fact that he's out on a technicality as a woman, it really hurts.
All right.
And you want to know something about the technicality? It's not something that we heard. It's not something that's been in the news, and it was going to be a decision about it and this and that, and they finally made the verdict, and there were pros and cons and all that. They just thought, yeah, Bill Cosby's out of jail on the technicality. He goes, he's going home now. You know? And it's like, what? You know?
It pays to be powerful. All right, let's move on to another powerful comedian who's going on tour. Al Franken. I used to like Al Franken. I still like Al Franken. Al Franken would have been a fine presidential candidate. Oh, Al. Oh, Libs. Oh, Dems. What have we done? Al Franken is headed back to D.C. and 14 other cities. The former U.S. senator and longtime comedian announced he's hitting the road for a full comedy tour with stops in Washington, New York, and elsewhere. Tickets to the only former U.S. senator currently on tour. Went on sale Wednesday, Franken tweeted. My promise is that you'll laugh, you'll think, and you'll leave hopeful about our future, he wrote, unless I'm in a bad mood that night. And that's kind of funny. Franken spent years on SNL as a writer and was known for portraying the character Stuart Smalley before he won election to a Minnesota Senate seat as a Democrat. Franken resigned from the Senate in 2017, facing growing calls from his colleagues to step down over allegations from several women of inappropriate conduct. Some of Franken's colleagues later said they regretted it. The former senator now hosts the Al Franken podcast. Oh my, the mighty have fallen. His comedy tour... Excuse me. His comedy tour kicks off September 18th in New Hampshire and closes December 11th at Town Hall. Here's the thing. I don't think this is going to be well attended because I don't think conservatives want to see him. And I don't think there's enough liberals that want to see him. And he was never a stand-up icon. He was known as being a writer and performer on Saturday Night Live. I understand he was a stand-up comedian. But, I mean, listen, maybe if he's playing small stuff. But I don't, unlike Cosby, I don't see this drawing well. I do think there'll be protests. Because there's still going to be women that are out there against him. And, you know, a lot of liberals still think are angry at Al Franken. I mean, I, for one, think, all right, maybe we overreacted a little bit considering what we've dealt with in the years that follow. And even at the time, it wasn't the brightest thing that Al Franken did. It was certainly still, but shouldn't he have had to resign? Who knows?
It shouldn't have been career ending.
Correct. But at the time, this was in the heat of the Me Too thing. This is really when Me Too.
Yeah, it was a witch on him. I think it was a witch. I don't agree. I think he's a funny guy. I don't agree with his politics at all. But that aside, I don't think that I think that he shouldn't have lost his job as a congressman. And I also think that he has the right to come back. And I don't think what he did has the sting of what a Cosby did. Not even so much.
No. Nobody's saying that. And I never said he doesn't have the right to come back. Of course he has the right to come back. I just don't think it's well attended. Because this is a political person. Cosby wasn't really a political person. Al Franken was a political person. So, you know, it's kind of akin to like Bill Maher. You know, Bill Maher going out, you're going to get a lot of liberals there. But the liberals are, there's a lot of liberals that are angry with Al Franken. So I don't think it's going to draw well.
Well, sometimes there's a lot of liberals that are pissed off at Bill Maher because he won't blatantly run along the party line.
That's true, but this is different.
Assholes he has, and he's putting a lot of shit for me. I don't give a fuck. You know, he's almost like you, where he goes, I call him as I see him.
Yeah, but you know what? Holding liberals' feet to the fire is different than being accused of sexual assault. And you got to remember, he disappointed a lot of people. I remember looking at this guy and going, this guy could be presidential because he's smart and he's funny. I was really disappointed. You know, kind of like not fucking Spitzer, Anthony Weiner. I had a lot because he was a liberal with fucking chutzpah. So many liberals are pussies that I can't stand them. So you had Al Franken, who wasn't a pussy, and Anthony Weiner, who wasn't a pussy. Now Anthony Weiner was much worse. Anthony Weiner needed to lose his career. Well, yeah, once you start sending dick pics to minors, sorry, Tony, it's time to go. But, you know, especially when your kid's in bed with you. Sorry, man, I love your ball. It's time to go. Time's up, Tony. Time's up. Right. But, yeah, I mean, listen, I wouldn't even be against Franken coming back to politics. I don't think he'd win. I just don't think this is going to be well attended. What do you think, Pip?
I really like Al Franken, and I think he's funny. I think he's very smart. I really enjoyed one of his books. I met him at a book signing, and I just thought that he was the cat's meow, really. And I know that Joe doesn't think much of his politics. I'm right in lockstep with the guy. And the thing is, that picture that came out about him, you know, clowning around, I thought that was funny.
Hold on. It wasn't just clowning around. The picture was from him doing a USO tour, and there was a female soldier asleep, and he reached. He didn't. I don't think he touched her. We don't know if he touched her. Well, we don't know. It's hard.
Picture. He's not touching her.
Yeah, if you look at the picture, you can't tell. But he's pretending to cup her breasts. But that wasn't the only thing. There was another woman who was big in right-wing politics at the time, who also accused him of sexual assault. So you got to take that with a grain of salt, too. It wasn't
also, but that's the thing, where what he did with the hand, he was just being a goofy comic.
Yeah.
And he jumped on it. Okay, the other thing, I'd like for that woman to describe what she defined as sexual assault. I'm not doubting this one, but I would like to find out what happened with the sexual assault thing. I don't think Al Franken should get, you know, that label. I think he just got a bad call.
Right, but I think it was the other woman that came out. Again, she's big in right-wing politics. Not that it means she wasn't sexually assaulted. I don't know. But I'm just saying, she was a big to-do in right-wing politics, and she said Al Franken sexually assaulted her. So that's what we have. That was the nail in the coffin. The first thing was the picture, and then this other woman came out. I don't know what happened.
Out of curiosity, did this other woman say what he explicitly did?
Yeah, she did at the time. I don't remember. It's easy enough to Google.
Do you know what? And Dav, I'm not busting your shoes because I want to try to clarify some things here to see if, you know, it's acceptable to come back.
You know what? Google second woman accuses Al Franken, something like that, or a woman accuses Al Franken, and that story should come up. Because as I recall it, 4 years ago, my memory's a little hazy. It was bad enough with the picture, but he was kind of weathering that storm. But it was when this other woman came out that the liberals, again, in the middle of Me Too, said, you got to go. Kirsten Gillibrand, the senator of New York, was one of the leaders in that say. And a lot of people are still angry at Kirsten Gillibrand for that stance. So, but okay. I listen, the guy can pursue a comedy career. I just don't think it's going to go well. I think Bill Cosby's going to outdraw Al Franken. What do you think about that?
Because Bill Cosby's got more of a name. Bill Cosby was an icon.
Yes.
And like I said, you know, Al Franken coming out is going to be a comedy show, okay? It's going to comedy, you know, arguments like Westbury Music Fair gets open. He's at Westbury. Fine, there'll be a protest outside. I'll go up. Maybe he'll do well. Maybe he won't. Cosby coming back is going to be a flat-out circus. And you're going to have at this, and it's going to be an interesting mix, you're going to have the Black Lives Matter contingent, Black Rights contingent, going at the Me Too contingent, you know?
Well, you know what? If Black Lives Matter is smart, they'll sit this one out, because black women were sexually assaulted and raped, too. So,
My whole thing, because it's... you know, one of the things that, you know, when we just go, oh, it's, well, he got released because he's black. I don't know, because if you're going to do that, yeah, but now you're going to be in the jaws of the Me Too movement. There's no winning.
All right. Pip, did you find the other woman?
Well, as a matter of fact, this article from Time says that 8 women accused him of sexual misconduct of one type or another. And so, I mean, having read that, I haven't read the whole article, but there was a thing about Leanne Tweeden.
That was the Republican, I think. That was.
Yeah, that he said that they were doing a skit, and he groped her inappropriately during the skit, and then there were it came amid a wave of sexual misconduct. Conduct allegations against prominent men in public life, and then, you know, he was part of the list that was accused by various women. I wasn't aware that there were that many women that came out.
Yeah, I forgot that.
I mean, I want to read up about that and see what they said.
You know what? Eight women's not nothing.
it's not nothing.
That's
it's
a good
not.
Amount.
And I'm not trying to be like, you know, oh, well, the, you know, that. That doesn't count. He was just groping. You know, no, you're not allowed to grope women. That if those things happened or in their mind, like one woman, skimming, said that he was there with this woman and the woman's husband, and he cupped her butt while they were like. For, you know, doing stuff, you know, that's exactly the kind of thing that the Me Too movement was talking about, is that, you know, in horsing around or in trying to prove your dominance, whatever the reason is, that men have often done things like this where they're overreaching or really reaching and touching, and that's not okay. And if he was doing those things, that is not okay. So I want to in midstream say, yeah, I'm not down with what came out, and he realizes that there were a lot of people that looked up to him as a voice of reason, like an intellectual Democrat that could have gone further and could have done a lot of things legislation wise, and the fact that he derailed his career by doing these things, yeah, that's really disappointing.
Let's be honest, an Al Franken versus Donald Trump debate would have been fucking fascinating. That I mean, because you got completely two different opposite animals right there. But we're never going to get to know that. But you know what? 8 women, that's a lot. Now, could they
that's all, a lot.
Could they be 8 liars? Yeah, sure, possibly, but probably not. Probably not. So you know what? Maybe it's good Al Franken isn't a senator anymore. I forgot that there was 8 women. That
could be. But if he goes out and does comedy, maybe he'll do, you know, maybe a special event night at Governors or something like that. You know, probably still Governors.
Yeah, if he could, I mean, he could go out and have a comedy career. That his whole livelihood shouldn't be taken away from him. Should he be, in politics anymore? Yeah, no.
No. Well, you know what? Comics have always, you know, comics are very damaged people, you know? And a lot of comics make Pryor did, you know, Carlin did to an extent, not as much as Carlin, you know. You have all these comics that were damaged people, and that's kind of what brings it in. Franken is a damaged person from what he did, you know, from his career. If he makes light of it, it presents it in the way that Pryor presented burning himself, freebasing, and stuff like that, where he addresses the issue and makes him look like the fool and is trying, you know. You know, if he's going to be in that way, you know, he can do well bringing that back. And then, you know, people forget things so quick after the tour. In another couple of years, he can go back out again. But I think he can do a Governors or Westbury Music Fair or something like that and do okay.
I think this is him sticking his toe back in to see if he can get back into politics. I think that's where this goes. I could see that happening. And I think the takeaway from these stories is if Pip really likes your comedy, chances are you're a lech. Okay, let's move on.
Well, you too.
I have never considered you a fan of mine, and I've never been more grateful for that fact.
Yeah.
All right, let's the much anticipated outstanding display of spite. We will get to it right now.
There's one thing that unites the three of us on Davin's Den. It's an outstanding display of spite. In lieu of that, we'd like to introduce Outstanding Displays of Spite.
A brewery in Virginia has responded to an online troll by releasing a beer-inspired and even named after a vulgar email message that accused the brewery's general manager of being a bitch. Beale's Brewery in Bedford released the new American-style porter earlier this month after a disgruntled customer allegedly cursed out the staff for enforcing a mask mandate in its taproom. The beer even takes its name from the first line and the customer's vulgar message. "Your manager is bitch and your beer tastes like hot old orange juice," reads the original email, which currently appears on the back of each can. The front of each can, meanwhile, is printed with a smiling photo of Brittany Canterbury, the general manager. "We decide to fight back," said Emily Sanfratello, the vice president of operations at Beale's, in a statement shared with Fox News. "We told the story on the can and printed the email verbatim." Beale's Brewery shared the backstory in two recent social media posts, explaining that the customer had previously visited the tap room in early November, but began harassing employees once he was asked to abide by the state's current mask mandate. He allegedly followed up with the vulgar email on November 7th. "We made this beer mostly out of deep abiding pettiness," the brewery wrote on Facebook this week. "As one of the few local businesses that follows the mask mandate, we've taken out our fair share of shit from customers throughout the pandemic." In an earlier post, Beale even thanked the disgruntled customer for giving us an opportunity to stand behind General Manager Brittany Canterbury and the countless other service industry workers who come to work every day with unfailing optimism. Sanfratello said the idea to start trolling customers started as a joke amid the pandemic, explaining that their new porter is actually the third beer in a series of releases we've done in response to trolls who disagree with the brewery's decision to uphold the state's mask mandate. "As restaurants have fought to survive the pandemic, we've also been fighting to keep our staff safe and supported from inconsiderate and abusive customers," she said. "So far, fans on social media seem to be loving the idea. A viral Reddit post even catapulted the brewery to the social media spotlight, prompting users from around the country to share their support. This really is brilliant," one commenter wrote on social media. "You guys are seriously the best," another said on Instagram. "It's amazing to see a business not only stand up for its employees, but also acknowledge that the customer is not always right." In the days since the beer was released, Beale's has confirmed that the angry customer has been permanently banned from the taproom as a result of his behavior. They also explained that despite demand from around the country, they cannot currently ship beer. However, the brewery urged followers to visit and support their own local breweries while remembering to generously tip the staff. "Those nearby, meanwhile, were welcome to come into the tap room to try the new porter for themselves, as long as they're wearing masks. Although we've been accused of making beer that tastes like hot old OJ, this is actually a porter with notes of toasted pecans and caramel," the brewery joked. All right, what do you guys think of that?
I think it's good. It's a good touche.
I love it. I just used to hate when I was in service jobs and you had to smile, the customer's always right, because sometimes the customer is a bitch and needs to be slapped.
Yeah,
I got a couple of new customers. We got a new territory, and I got a couple of customers that just drive me up the goddamned wall. But you got to be nice, you know, to help them pay the mortgage.
Yeah, you got to be nice, and it's like they don't deserve it. I love that they decided to turn it around and support their manager and say, you know what, we're turning around on you. We think you're hilariously stupid.
It wasn't like he's a demanding customer. He's an asshole, you know?
He's an asshole. Yeah.
He's an asshole.
Yeah.
Yeah, good for that. I think it is an outstanding display, but yeah, a funny one. And I'll get you drunk, too.
It was awesome.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's take our final break. We'll come back. We'll do some scamming scammers. And we'll continue. On the break, we got new music from Frankie Carvalho with Broken Chords and Johnny and the Jazz Suits with Good Medicine. And you can learn more about both those artists at deucemusic.com.